appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. This is the word of the Lord.
One thing you do as a vicar is to write a lot of references, certainly in this church anyway. And last month I was writing a reference for somebody who wants to become a vicar. I think they'll be brilliant. It was a very positive reference, just in case they're sitting here. Who knows? And one question that I was asked, amongst the 32 questions, one of the questions was this: to what extent can this candidate work independently? This is something that Church of England really wants to know, and it is a reasonable question. What it's getting at, I guess, is, has this person got initiative? Do they need to be spoon-fed? Do you need to hold their hand the whole time? It sounds like an unquestionable virtue to embrace. Independence. We're thinking last week and in the weeks to come of things Jesus didn't say. Things which might sound extremely reasonable. One thing he never said was this: be independent. We're looking how tonight he almost appears to be looking for the opposite in some sense. He would ask the question, is this candidate ready? To what extent are they ready to be dependent upon me? Or to put it another way, to work in partnership with me? Independence. Well, in many domains of life, it is a wonderful thing. When I was 2, my mum tells me, I learned to walk. Everyone clapped. Independence Day. Fantastic. When I was 3, big day. I'm sure you're fascinated. I learned to brush my own teeth. Independence Day. Mum didn't have to do it any longer for me. When I was 6, this is what happened. I read my very first page in a book. This has nothing to do with the sermon. This is nostalgia for me. But here it is. This is Janet. This is John. There are many reasons why people cannot read across the world, not for their own fault. For me, genuinely, the age of 6, Independence Day. Fantastic. All of these things, undeniably good. Good to become an independent reader, if one can. My mum is getting into her 80s, and she is looking for a place to live. One place she's looking for is a place that will guarantee her independent living. Good thing. And yet, even though at the beginning of life and at the end, and indeed in between, apparently even in the Church of England, we are asked, to what extent can this candidate work independently? Jesus never asks for that. To what extent can you, to what extent can I, work dependently with him. Here's a mantra, if you like, that I read. I think it's even the title of a book. Be the CEO of your life, the chief executive officer. Might not be your vocabulary, but what it's saying is take charge, take control, be independent, believe in yourself. Last week, as we were thinking about the ladder, that it's so easy to think we have to climb, even in the Christian faith, going higher and higher. So the cultural air we breathe, the cultural oxygen we seem to live by, is it must be good to be the CEO of your life. Just believe in yourself. Jesus never said it. Instead, he says, to put it exactly, remain in me and I will remain in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. The whole of his discipleship training school that lasts for about 3 years is about this. This partnership with Jesus. What exactly does that look like for you? What does it look like for me? Well, to give us some idea, I'd like you to think, what are you going to be doing when you wake up tomorrow morning, say at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 6, whenever you wake up, what is it that your Monday is going to look like? I'll give you 30 seconds to think about that, or if you're sitting next to somebody you know or would like to know, tell them what you're doing tomorrow. Okay, so take that thing that you just said. Sorry, carry on afterwards. But take that thing you just said, or the thing you just thought about, and ask this. What does it look like specifically on your Monday for Jesus to be, if you like the phrase, the CEO, to put it more scripturally, the Lord of your Monday? Here's what it looks like in God's word for Simon Peter and the other disciples. It's just after Easter. It's maybe the night of Easter or a night soon afterwards. Simon Peter and the other disciples have seen Jesus. Thomas, he's actually touched Jesus and put his fingers in Jesus' wounds. And they wake up on Monday and they think, well, what are we meant to do now? How are we meant to do this following Jesus thing? I don't really know. And so Simon Peter says, doesn't he, I'm going to go and do my job. The job that I had before this crazy adventure with Jesus all began. I'm going fishing. Some other disciples were also fishermen. And they said, verse 3, we'll go with you. Here's what life in dependence, God working with us on your Monday, certainly on their Monday, looks like. They spend the whole night fishing and catch not a thing. Now, let's just pause there a moment. There's seven fishermen here. They fish the whole night. If you were here last week, you might remember me saying, I used to fish a lot. I know what I'm talking about. Night fishing is the best. That this is when the fish really do bite. These fishermen are pros. What's more, they were using nets, for goodness sake. I just used a rod and line. For seven pros with nets at night, not to catch anything, that's failure. That is abject failure. Let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced on your Mondays or any day failure like that in your area of competence? See, we're all good at things. God does give us gifts. He wants to use those gifts, but sometimes, and it's happening here in John 21, they fall flat on their faces. Can you put yourself in their sandals and imagine what it feels like? If you've ever experienced failure, or something that just doesn't go well, you know what it's like. And so the sun is just rising. They're in the boat. And these fishermen, they hear the second worst thing any fisherman who hasn't caught anything can possibly hear. It's this. If you've got your Bibles open now, you can read it. Somebody calling out from the shore, "Haven't you any fish?" It's the second worst thing you can hear. I mean, for a start, he's calling from the shore. Doesn't he know that that'll scare the fish away? That's pretty bad. But to have it rubbed into you that you haven't caught anything, you know, this is bad. But I'll tell you the worst thing. This could be very useful, so listen carefully. I'll tell you the worst thing to hear is when somebody calling out to you gives you a tip of how you could catch some fish. I mean, he's not even a fisherman. He's a carpenter, I think. He gives you a tip. We don't know exactly what is going on in verse 6. Between sentence 1, Jesus says, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And the second sentence, it's conceivable that there were a few swear words. Well, I don't know. I'm reading that into the text. It's conceivable there's a few. Who does he think he is? It's conceivable that they are at least thinking, he's got to be joking. But with what? Whatever faith they have, maybe as small as a mustard seed, maybe it's desperation, which isn't so far removed from faith. Maybe it's simply because they're too exhausted and they haven't got the strength to argue. They throw their nets on the other side. And they get a picture, we get a picture in God's word of what this looks like. Life independence. Living in partnership with God. What does it look like for you on your Monday or any day? On my Monday or any day? To throw your net on the other side? I don't know. But here's what it is. It's when Jesus, if he is Lord of your life, invites you, because the analogy with the CEO falls down, if the idea that comes to your mind of a dictator who tells you what to do, C.S. Lewis calls Jesus the gentleman of the universe, the gentleman of the universe. He gate crushes no one's life. He invites you to throw your net on the other side. St. Augustine puts it this way. He said this. He said, without God, we cannot. Without us, he will not. We see that illustrated here in verse 6. You see, without Jesus' authority, without his word, without his divine wisdom as the fishermen of heaven, they were just going to have a fishless night. But Jesus could have been calling from the shore in vain if they said, I'm not going to bother. Without God, we cannot. Without us, he will not. He is looking for people who will live in dependence on him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Is that because you don't have any understanding? No, it isn't. You have much and many gifts. But beyond them is the divine wisdom that so often feels like foolishness to people. For God's foolishness, writes St. Paul, is wiser than any person's wisdom. Cast your nets on the other side. It must have sounded a really foolish thing to do. But when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. My experience is this, that it has taken me in different times and places to the place of a failure when I am at the end, the absolute end of my own resources. And when I discover there the beginning the beginnings of God's resources. Because tomorrow, Jesus wants to break into your life and mine. And the question is, will we hear him and will we respond to him? That picture at the beginning of this service that Georgia gave of the boat going along, and it just takes a little nudge of the wheel to set it in the right direction. That's like me in my life in different seasons. And if Jesus is Lord of your life, he doesn't wrench the steering wheel away from you. He invites you to give it to him. And sometimes it's just a little nudge to put you in the right direction. To throw your net on the other side is literally, I don't know, how big's a boat? 2 meters? Not a big difference. But it's the difference between a fishless night and the biggest catch of a lifetime. That's the difference. That's the difference that Jesus wants to make through you. What does the little nudge look like for you? For somebody here, throwing your nets on the other side might be to stay in a marriage where it is easier to go, or to stay in a job that's just so tough to hang on in there. For somebody else, it might mean to actually move to another place where there is full of uncertainty and to leave a place of comfort. For someone else here, it could be to give up something that's holding you back, but that's become a part of who you are, but it shouldn't be. For someone else, it's making a sacrifice that goes against the grain. But if you did, it will bring you to a real place of freedom. For us as a church, this whole venture called Making Space for Good in Peckham, it's our vision prayer day about it, this whole site redevelopment that has been 2 years in the making. One could say 147 years since this site was first sort of built, the first foundations laid. We believe, as a church council and others here, that it's Jesus inviting us to do this with him. And if it's not with him, it's going to be absolutely fruitless. And nothing's going to happen. We're not going to raise the money. We're probably hearing tomorrow or the day after how much money it's going to cost. But because we believe Jesus is in it, if he is, it's going to happen. But it's not going to be like 3 million or however many pounds it is going to drop down from a cloud from heaven. It's going to take some people who are nudged by the Holy Spirit, including me, nudged by the Holy Spirit to give, to invest in this thing that Jesus is calling us into. It's like every great venture in the whole of human history has always been done by God in partnership with people, nudged by his Spirit to do what can seem like a crazy thing. What an amazing God. Just imagine if it could be that he wants to do a whole site redevelopment with me here, for goodness sake, who knows nothing about buildings and has no enthusiasm for buildings at all. But if it's of you, Lord, this will happen. This will happen. By the grace of God, he's putting signs and people and already resources in place where he's giving us courage. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. This afternoon, interviewing 4 people, trying to work out, is God calling you to Peckham? Really moving thing, taking a lot of courage for each person to even apply for these internship roles we've got going on here. And trying to hear and sense, both them and us, the nudge of the Holy Spirit, that this is my call on your life. So you and I, we face our Mondays and every day. And where in your life is the Holy Spirit nudging you to cast your net on the other side, to do a thing that's only got a point because Jesus is in it. If you have a diary with you, that's pretty old school. I've still got a diary, pen and paper. Do you remember those things? Well, if you've got a tablet or anything which represents your coming week, I'm just going to invite you to take it out, or if not, imagine it in your hand like this, as a way of giving your week to God. Just imagine it in your hand, your diary. And I'm going to pray this prayer that God would help us. God would help us to know what it means very practically this week to cast our net on the other side, to give him the steering wheel, as it were, of our life. Not because we have to, but because he's Lord, because he's faithful. He's got good plans for us. Because when he's in charge, amazing things happen. Lord, we give to you our coming week, and we are sorry for every way we have wanted to take control of our lives. There are many good things to be independent in. Many good things, but it's not good to live life and life with you independently as though we were in charge. We are sorry for when we have. So we declare you are the CEO, you are the Lord, you are the Lord. You are the vine, we are the branches. Will you please help us this Monday to receive the nudges of your spirits and the courage to go with them. And as I invite the band to come forward, we're going to sing this song. If it's your song, it's a prayer. We're going to remain seated for it, which is saying, God in my living. It's not just God in my Sundays, not just God in this church, but God on Mondays. When Simon Peter said, I'm going out to fish, and you're saying whatever you said to your neighbor, you're going to do whatever you're going to do. And this prayer is that we're living out our days with Jesus, in dependence on him, in partnership with him. Lord, please help us. We pray this song together.